Hello and welcome to the Kuribros, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime recap podcast. I'm your host, not the stepdad or the dad who stepped up, I'm Phoenix. Joining me, he went out for milk and cigarettes 15 years ago, but now he's back, it's Andy. How you doing, Andy?
I swear I got lost on the way back. It just took me 15 years, I swear. I was getting those milk and those cartons and then I didn't want to leave you. I swear.
I swear, Gracie, take me back.
I didn't go to another state. I swear I love you. I'll just leave you again another 15 years for another 15 years.
Like, oh, I think I left my wallet. I'll be right back. Oh,
hang on. I got to go back. The corner store you were trying to go to is closed, Dad.
Yeah.
It closed down sure is. 10 years ago. Yeah.
Don't worry. When I get back, we'll toss the old pigskin around.
I'm 35.
You sure are, kid. Here's looking at you.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's been a minute since we recorded. I mean, it's been the same amount of distance times that we always take when we record, but
yeah.
You know, that time always feels like forever some days. And in that time, we were kind of talking about Godzilla.
Yeah.
Just a completely random topic as opposed to what we would normally talk about on this show. It was nice and it was fun, and you know, I was talking about how I've been doing like a watch of all the movies, and I think at the time we were talking, I think I got through the second era and I needed to do the last two. Well, I'm happy to say I finished all of it, and my conclusion with all of it is -1 is the best one. So go see -1.
Yeah, I remember getting out of the theater talking with my brother about just -1 and what I liked about it. And like, I had no faults with that movie at all. I enjoyed it start to finish. It was a perfect movie, and it had Godzilla in it.
It does do a lot of things right that you don't normally see in Godzilla movies. I think this is, if I had to think one really big highlight with it, I think it's just how well the characters are written. Even just not from our main protagonist character, it like everyone, all the side characters feel like they have something to do and feel like they have their own kind of, like, no one ever felt really shafted. Everyone felt like they had they were used appropriately, and nothing kind of went to shenanigans, really. It was all done straightforward, and it kind of shows that you can do something as, I guess, what a lot of normal people would say would be ridiculous with like giant lizard monster attacking a city, and really kind of making it better than most of the films that have come out that past year. You know, it's definitely better than any of the superhero movies that came out that like flood the box office. They're better than a lot of the movies I saw this past year.
How do you think it compares to Barbie?
I actually, you know what? I would say I like Godzilla -1 more, but I don't, you know what? I've seen Barbie. Barbie was dope. I'm not even going to like say Barbie was a bad movie or anything. It was actually really entertaining, really funny, and it did a lot of different things well that, you know, it had things going against it. It kind of went with it has the Lego movie syndrome, where like you think something like that's just some sort of, oh, they're kind of cashing in on a brand. But it had a message, did it well. Ryan Gosling killed it, and so did Margot Robbie.
Do you think Barbie would have been better if Godzilla had shown up halfway through?
Personally, yes, but I don't think a lot of people would agree with me.
How well do you think they could have depicted the impact of the walking nuclear reactor on Barbie Land? Has this bit gone too far?
It's just like, I think the Kens would be stoked on it, but I think the Barbies would not be so stoked on it.
Yeah, they'd probably have the rational reaction.
Well, I think we've done this bit, but so just to kind of cap off, I saw the Godzilla live actions. I didn't watch the cartoon stuff yet, but I'm kind of whatever.
You should watch it. Watch the cartoon.
Go see -1. And also, oh yeah, I will watch it someday.
I will make you watch it.
I know you will. Regardless, go see that. And around this time, the new movie already came out, the new American movie, and I'm sure that's going to be at least fun.
Yeah.
Probably won't be better, but definitely will be fun.
Get to have Godzilla in the world of Monkey Mayhem.
But now, kind of shifting back focus to, you know, what we're really about with this show, which is, you know, a children's card game and friendship known as Yu-Gi-Oh!
We're getting back to our roots. We're going back before our roots, in fact.
Kind of, actually, yeah. So it's kind of, this will kind of be a kind of a nice little epilogue to season one in general, because when we started the show, we opened with season zero for a good majority of that episode before we hit the pilot. And we decided today to watch a, I guess you'd call it a short film. It's a 30-minute...
An OVA.
I don't know if that was the term back then, but it's, because they call it a short film on the Wikipedia, but it's an OVA of Yu-Gi-Oh! It seems to have taken place after the Toei Animation series, I guess so, because Kaiba's hair is brown and not bright green or whatever the hell it is in it. So it has to be done after the series was done. But it seems like a nice way to kind of put a feather in that kind of cap.
I can tell you with confirmation, just based on the thing I saw it, the Yu-Gi-Oh! Season Zero anime aired in April through October of 98. This is depicted on Wikipedia as being March 6th, 1999. So about 6 months after Season Zero ended, this came out.
It must have been kind of the way to... Because it's a Duel Monsters episode.
Yes. So at this point, it's safe to say they've figured out what the people liked, and they're doing this as sort of like their first soft lean into what season one would be, with it all being Duel Monsters focused.
Now, I didn't look too much into like the backstory of like the production shift from Toei Animation to, I think, Studio Gallop that's doing the current series we're covering, and a lot of the series afterwards. Do you think this was kind of like maybe like a Hail Mary for them to maybe try and get a second season, where they're like, okay, we're kind of getting it, but we might be losing the show?
I don't know if I would say it would be a Hail Mary to try to save it, because I don't know how big they were on trying to save properties back then. It's not like today where we have like the Twitter campaigns about saving whatever show Netflix is canning this time.
Release the Yugi cut.
Yeah, release the haircut. I think it's a fair stance that you could have, but at this point, I don't think we're ever going to have any confirmation. It'd be pretty hard to track down anyone who worked on this back then, because it's been 20 some odd years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
And there are some other things that do carry forward, which we'll talk about later, but I'm not sure if that would be from Takahashi's stuff that he wanted to add and he was still trying things out or not. But there are, as we've said before, going through season one, where we'll talk about things like, oh, this is like that thing from season zero. That very much also happens here, where we see things that will be used. We're used later. The timing of describing this is a little weird, because we did zero, season one, now we're going back to zero, so...
Yeah, it's a little weird.
You get it or you don't. I can't help you explain it further. Watch it yourself, you'll see what I mean. It's on YouTube.
It literally, yeah, all of season zero and that movie are on YouTube. By the way, I have a question. When you're watching this OVA, or whatever you want to call it, did the sound cut out at the end?
Yes, it did!
So, warning, that happens.
So, at the end, they have, like, the... If you ever seen like The Breakfast Club, there's the part where like the guy's walking across the football field, and at the end he's walking, like pumps his fist in the air and looks like, "Don't you forget about me," is playing. Imagine that, but if the sound just all cut out right when he gets on the football field, but like it keeps filming. And I'm like, "All right, cool. Is there some copyright music that like you guys had for the credits in this that you couldn't get through or what?"
That must have been it. Maybe because it was just the last like 5 minutes, so usually in those kinds of endings they have like some sort of big song, but they had the opening song, so I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it's very weird, because it's just like all the good guys are like looking at each other like, "Yeah, we did it," and it's like no sound, no voice acting, no music, no sound effects,
just a lot of shit.
Super weird to have just silent credits.
Yeah, really was. I'm trying to look up when the first like Yu-Gi-Oh! Duelist chapter came out to see if it coincided with when this released, maybe, because it seems like there's some stuff in here that are like, well, we couldn't kind of talk about it, but it seems like there's a lot of stuff that happened to go with later Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff that kind of happens more deep into Duelist Kingdom. But there's no... I'm not seeing any dates.
Well, while you look up dates, I'm going to tell the fine folks out there what the hell happens in this 30-minute special.
Yeah, tell them about that.
The special opens up with a new kid we've never seen before named Shogo, who is going into a card shop, not Grandpa's card shop, And on the way, he passes by a bunch of other kids. When I say kids, I mean, like, they're... This is, like, season zero Yugi, but he's, like, smaller than that. So I guess they'd be, like, grade schoolers or something. Some younger age than that. Kid walks in. The other kids are already there, like, oh, it's Shogo. And Shogo, who, like, always loses playing Duel Monsters, but still tries anyway, and they make fun of him for it. They leave. Shogo buys a card pack, and he opens up the legendary Red Eyes Black Dragon. And the card owner tells him that the Red Eyes is a parallel to the Blue Eyes, and the Blue Eyes has the ability to guarantee victory for the person who uses it, but Red Eyes only gives the potential for victory, which is a weird way to phrase things, especially considering what happens later on in this duel. Not important. What is important is now Shogo has this super powerful card, so he thinks that this is going to turn his luck in dueling around. We then cut to the gang going into some place, some... restaurant, diner, parlor to hang out. Taya's working there as a waitress again. I think they have the same bit from before about jobs, not being able to have them in school.
It's the same exact bit.
Yugi and Joey start playing Duel Monsters. They explain the rules of the game to all of them around. And while they're doing that, Shogo walks in and the other kids are like taunting him about being a bad duelist. And he says like, no, I'm refusing to duel you because I don't need to duel you because I have this legendary Red Eyes card. I'd already beat you. And everyone is like, whoa, he's got the legendary Red Eyes card. We can't beat that. And at the same time, there's like a camera on the ceiling that's watching this happen, which cuts back to Kaiba in some security station full of goons who are also watching. And Kaiba's like, ah, yes, the Red Eyes Black Dragon. Now it's the time for me to do some dastardly shit.
Yeah, we needed him to be the bad guy, so he needs to do bad guy shit.
Yugi tells the gang that he knows Shogo Kizu's a neighborhood kid, he knows that he never wins games, but he still wants to be a legendary duelist. So, cut to afterwards, Yugi's getting home to the shop, and he sees there's a letter in the door, and he opens it up, and the letter's an invitation to a tournament. And Yugi's like, ah, whatever, I don't care.
He's like, whatever, I don't give a shit.
The next day, Yugi and Joey are walking to school, or just walking around. We never see the rest of the friends throughout this entire thing, so don't worry about it. And as they're going, they see Shogo exits an alleyway pursued by one of Kaiba's goons. And the goon's like, you have to go to this tournament because you've got the thing and you're not allowed to say no, which is abduction.
Yes. Yes.
And Joey and Yugi point this out, and Joey starts throwing hands with the guy because that's what Joey's here to be. He's the muscle. Yugi's like, hey, what the hell are you talking about? I got one of those invitations too. And the goon's like, oh, well, then you've been drafted to go to the tournament also.
It's like a fucking military draft, but for duelists.
Yeah. I would give a damn about the military if this was the war. Joey holds off the goon while Shogo and Yugi take off running. They have a little talk about how Shogo is still not actually dueling anyone, even though he has the Red Eyes. And there's some stuff about Shogo still being afraid of losing, even if he has the Red Eyes, because that will mean that there's nothing he could have done. There's no mystical powers to make him win anyway. And then a new Kaiba goon shows up, who then beats them up and takes their cards, I guess. Doesn't take them.
That's the thing. That was confusing to me, because didn't Yugi also say he took his Millennium Puzzle?
Yeah, like the guy like beats him up, takes the puzzle, takes the Red Eyes, and leaves. Joey shows up having dealt with the first goon. He's like, ah, let me get 2 for 2 on this, and runs out to the tournament to take the guy on. Joey has a brief scuffle with this guy, which doesn't go as great as the first one, but he does manage to get the Red Eyes card back, not the puzzle. Yugi's like, alright, fine, I'm gonna go into this tournament, and I'm gonna... Oh, yeah, and they also learned from the goons that this is Kaiba's tournament. I missed that part before, but there's a big, like, oh, Kaiba moment.
They didn't know? I'm sorry, I might have missed that part. I thought they already knew.
No, they didn't say anywhere on the letter that it was a Kaiba tournament. It was, like, the goon who was like, yeah, that's right. You have to go to this tournament because Kaiba said you have to. And they're like, what?
But what?
But I know him, huh? Yugi says, all right, I'm going to go in this tournament. I'm going to duel so I can get my puzzle back and blah, blah, blah. And while they're doing that, Joey hands him, he's like, yeah, I managed to get back the Red Eyes Black Dragon from the whatever guy. And it's like a little messed up, but it's fine. And he gives it to Yugi, and Yugi goes into the tournament and all that. Well, he secretly puts it into Yugi's deck, because that's going to be like a thing later, because Shogo has to learn confidence or something.
Yeah, that's how he's going to do it.
That's the plot of this movie. Shogo needs confidence. We see that Kaiba's been dueling people all the time, just sitting at a table, knocking them out. Yugi shows up. Kaiba's like, all right, now that my arch rival is here, time to up the drama scale. So the table sinks into the floor. He does give Yugi the puzzle back, and he turns into Yami Yugi. Gives him the puzzle back. Table sinks into the floor. They get the dual disc Beyblade wrist deck holder things that they used in their roof battle and in Kaiba versus Joey. So they put their decks in those, and instead of having the Beyblade, they just, like, throw their cards up in the air, yes. And then holograms of them come down in front of themselves.
Which is not, that's not science.
Yeah, so we've got Kaiba showing off his brand new duel system here at this tournament, as he's wont to do at every tournament. So, Kaiba and Yugi start dueling while Joey and Sugar are watching from the sides. We get a sort of best of hits. We see Curse of Dragon, we see some monster that doesn't matter. We see Battleox, we see Gaia the Fierce Knight, until eventually Kaiba's like, alright, time to win this game, and summons Blue Eyes. Yugi responds with Dark Magician, uses Magical Hats combination, and puts a trap card in it, which is the Spellbinding Circle. You're seeing all the stuff that you'll see later. He ends up getting rid of the Blue Eyes, but then Kaiba's like, oh, that was cool, what are you gonna do about the second one? And he plays it, and he does play a card that's like Black Metal Chain, something like that. And
yeah, it's uses like Wicked Chain or something.
Monster Reborn. So Kaiba has not Blue Eyes Ultimate Dragon, but three Blue Eyes all tied together on the board.
Yeah, that was my, did they not want to, like, and that's why I wanted to look up when the release dates of Duelist started happening, because was this around the time that rematch was happening? Where, because you have the dual disc, you have a lot of, like, that kind of stage setting up that, it's not the same duel. For sure, but it's got a lot of the inspiration from that, and then the three Blue Eyes coming together just kind of seems like the whole false Super Saiyan and Lord Slug kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird. There is one thing Kaiba says where he plays the chain that lets him get all the Blue Eyes out, but he says with this card he's able to have all three Blue Eyes out at the same time, which this made me think of Magic the Gathering has what's called the Legend Rule, where if a card is a legendary creature, you can only have one copy of it on the field at a time. So this kind of felt like a little bit of a reference to that, because I guess they weren't really differentiating how the card games worked yet. Hadn't really established it.
No.
So I guess they were just copying what Magic was already doing with that, if I were to make something up.
You could already tell they're still kind of like working out the kinks of everything. And I don't think they had the same kind of at least maybe who was ever working on the film didn't have the same understanding of the game as maybe it was being established in the manga. Maybe it was a reference to that at the time. I don't know how long has Magic been like a card game? It's been a long time.
I want to say 93.
So that would make sense, especially if they've kept that rule since if that's like an OG kind of rule.
Yeah, the only thing that's changed about that rule is it used to be it applied for all players. So if, like, one person had, like, Jeff the Guy, a legendary creature, out, and another person also played Jeff the Guy, only one would be allowed to stay. But now they changed it so everyone can have their own Jeff the Guy.
Well, at least we can all have a Jeff the Guy.
Thank God, I really needed him to make my Boros deck work.
These references are going on my head now.
I know, don't worry, I'll get you into Magic soon. That's on my list of hyperfixations to inflict you with.
Have you seen the One Piece stacks I have? I need to figure that shit out first.
I can do both. I'm persistent.
Yes, you are.
Speaking of persistent, Kaiba is here, finally jazzed off his ass to be taking down Yugi. Yugi plays the card Meteor Dragon, which I thought was a neat little thing to see, which also told me how the rest of this special was going to end. And Yugi's on the defensive. Shogo is in the stance with Joey, talking about like, oh, there's no chance, what's he going to do? And Joey's like, just so you know, I fucking stole your red eyes and put it into Yugi's deck. And he's like, why the fuck did you do that, man? And Joey says, like, well, it's a way for Yugi to win, but he's not gonna play that card just yet, because that's your card, and if you're not gonna man up and fight, you little bitch, then why would Yugi care? So then we have this whole extended, like, 3-minute sequence of Shogo talking about how he's afraid to lose and all that, and finally mustering himself to be like, I don't want to lose, and then calls out from the stands that he summons the Red Eyes Black Dragon, which then Yugi somehow heard from the stage and was like, alright, now I'm gonna win. Summons Red Eyes, uses polymerization, fuses Red Eyes with the Meteor Dragon for Meteor Black Dragon, a card that I like aesthetically, and then it just blows up the Blue Eyes and Kaiba loses.
Yeah.
And then it ends. Yugi, Joey, and Shogal meet up, and they're like, "You did it, Yugi." It's like, "No, we did it." And then the audio cuts out, and everything ends. Anyway, that's the special.
That's literally it. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Yeah, I guess there was like some cool animation stuff where, like, when Kaiba lost, like his hair was like getting blown around. It looked kind of neat. And Gaia fought Battleox and used like its spear and like did like a spiral thing, which like cut a spiral into Battleox, which that looked cool. But this is nothing. This is goddamn nothing.
What I will say is it does have the whole kind of heart of Yu-Gi-Oh! In it, in the sense of, I think that message...
It absolutely has the heart of Yu-Gi-Oh! Where you're like standing up for yourself and committing to stuff that you want and your friends and all that. But we covered this in episode 1 of season 0. And we did it better then because I got to watch a man die.
You got to watch several men die in that season. But it is fine. It is
100% serviceable. It is nothing special. I don't know why we made an episode about this.
Because we needed another offshoot episode and we thought it might be a little more than what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, at least I thought.
I thought it would be like at least like 45 minutes of a thing, not half an hour.
Yeah, me too. We kind of screwed ourselves with this one, kind of committing to it. But like, what I will say about it is the story is the worst part about it, because you're focusing on Shogo, who is
little homie, don't give a shit about him.
Well, it's like, yeah, no one cares about him, and you don't have enough time to even really care about him because you don't really focus on him. He is the same character up until the red eyes bit, and it doesn't really matter to me at that point, because like, okay, fine, well, now I know it's going to be that, but like, there's nothing really that Shogo did to change. It's just, okay, I have to change for Yugi to win.
Yeah, the narrative says I have to do this.
Exactly. So it didn't feel earned. It just felt kind of forced. That being said, I did enjoy watching all the cards and how they were kind of depicted. Like, I liked Dark Magician's design. I was very, very surprised and also intrigued by Gaia the Fierce Knight's design with, like, the black armor and everything. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the subtitles called him, like, Dark Gaia the Fierce Knight at first.
It was, like, Dark Gaia or something, and they had Gaia the Fierce. They had, like, all the, like, proper names in parentheses. Thanks, whoever wrote those captions.
It was cool to see the monsters, because it always is.
It's got better animation than it does. Like, it's obviously because it's probably a higher production media that the animation value is a lot better. There's no Trist. There's only like Tristan for like 2 minutes, so you know that's pretty cool.
I don't think Tristan says any lines, actually.
No, he does. He does, because there's like a small Miho. Let's duel Miho bit. And she's like, no, oh, watch. Right, and then they're finally gone. And it's like they're gone. Kind of sucks that Taya's not there, because I like Taya, especially as like a supporting character.
Yeah.
But like, well, fine. Joey and Yugi are there, and I'm not too upset by that. It's cool to see Joey duel, because he doesn't duel, I think, in any or really any point during season 0. So it's cool to see that.
Yeah. I like getting to see Joey and Yugi be friends in this.
That's always nice, and it's always like one of the best parts of Yu-Gi-Oh! In general is watching those two kind of interact. And I wish they kind of said something about the whole Kaiba having brown hair now thing. It seems to be like a within the timeline, it's right before Death T and everything, but it's after Yugi and Kaiba dueled the first time, where Kaiba takes Yugi's grandpa's blue eyes and but can't use it or whatever.
Yeah.
Right when the first chapter is what that is. It's fine. It is really fine.
Yeah, it's fine is the best and worst thing we can say about it.
It is so
serviceable.
I think the novelty of it was just watching it for the first time and probably the last. I would say if I was to recommend it, I would recommend it in a sense of intrigue. And if you want to just watch more Yu-Gi-Oh! Media, you will have something to watch for 30 minutes and it'll pass 30 minutes by. Is it the best thing in the world? No. Is it the worst thing? Probably not. But it is what it is. It is kind of cool. They're really leaning into the dual monster stuff. And at least it wasn't a Beyblade dual disc. It was whatever the hell that was.
Yeah, I did also really like getting to hear the season zero intro again. I did miss that a lot. It's a good intro.
I do like that intro. It's like probably one of the best parts of that whole series.
Yeah, that's really good.
And like hearing all the old voice actors from season zero, like we were watching all those episodes, so like we got kind of attached to it before we even like got into what we're getting into with the current, like, you know, where we are at in the...
Yeah, it was nice to go back and see the old friends.
So that was cool. It was a nice way to kind of say sayonara to season zero, because, you know, we probably won't ever touch on it again at this point.
God willing.
I mean,
well,
it's not the worst. And
it's
I gotta
not the
say,
worst. And if there's demand for it, I'm sure we'll go back and give an in-depth review of it instead of just covering all of season zero in one episode.
Yeah, if you guys want that, we're more than happy to give you the content you ask for. But, you know, I think, because we're done season one, and we're going to get into season two now. Officially, after this, we're going to start doing season two. It's a nice little send-off for season zero, and kind of season one, and kind of the whole beginnings of what we're talking about. You know, this big, huge franchise that is spanned from animes, spin-off animes, you know, world famous card game that came from it, and video games and what have you. So it's, I think, while feels kind of useless to kind of do a whole episode on it, I think in a way it's kind of poetic. We kind of just like say goodbye to season zero and season one with kind of this interesting foundation that they tried to put on with it. And I will also say it was neat to see the one and only time we get to see Red Eyes Black Dragon beat Blue Eyes White Dragon.
Yeah, that was cool. And I like seeing Meteor Black Dragon because for a long time I'd wondered why that was like a rare thing. I think it may have been one of like the McDonald's cards, like Meteor Dragon at least. So it was nice to get an answer as to why that was a thing that they made. It's because it was the Season Zero special.
I remember I was playing a long time ago, I'd play like Game Boy Advance Yu-Gi-Oh game. I don't remember the name of it right now. It escapes me. But one of the fusion monsters I had in one of the decks was that card. And that would be one of my ace cards. I remember playing against the computer, whatever anime character I fought off against. So it was cool to see that for me personally.
Yeah. It's cool to see things you like.
Absolutely. I think especially at this point when we're kind of in this early into the rewatch.
Yeah.
But I think with this, we'll kind of say, see ya season one. See ya season zero. Good riddance kind of to this OVA. And now we can kind of look forward to the future. So now we are going to be... We're kind of done our little break here with going through the in between season one and two. I think having just a month of me rambling about Godzilla and then Phoenix talking about whatever the hell this was.
Yeah, this weird soup.
This weird soup of just all the cool things about dual monsters, but not with a very well thought out plot.
You know that thing at like the fair where they'd have like the, it's like a white piece of like cardstock paper and they like put a thing in spin and you like shoot it with all the colors and make like a weird design?
I think so.
That's what this is for Yu-Gi-Oh! It's like, all right, here's the Yu-Gi-Oh! template. Here's a bunch of shit you like. We're going to spin it really fast. We're going to throw it at it and it's going to look like something when we're done. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. You'll forget you have it eventually.
Yeah, this is definitely one of those pieces of Yu-Gi-Oh! Media that a lot of people either don't know about, because I barely knew about it, and doesn't really need a lot of bringing up. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So, kind of looking forward, we finished off Season 1 with Dungeon Dice Monsters. Where are we kind of going to go with beginning Season 2?
Beginning of season two, we're going to be getting into the true villain of Yu-Gi-Oh! The one that everyone thinks of whenever they think of their favorite times, the Battle City's main antagonist, Johnny Steps.
And him and his goddamn musician man card or whatever it is.
Yeah, him and his weird sexism about Taya wanting to dance and being better at DDR than him. We'll get to it.
We're going to get there. There's that.
Yeah, but there's also, we're going to meet a wonderful museum curator who never did anything wrong in her life, and we all love to see her. And also, we get the return of a man that we thought we'd lost to the sea. It could be Mako's dad. It's not.
And kind of to go off with that, because I think those are the first two episodes of the season, we are also going to continue on with Dungeon and Dice Monsters in the manga, kind of. So Dungeons and Dice Monsters is over, Yugi won in the manga, but going into it, Bandicoot's dead in the manga. I think this is the confirmation of it. So it's a different character doing what Bandicoot is doing that's adapted in the anime. So that's going to be a big thing we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. We're done season one. We got these two episodes done. Now we're going on to season two, and I'm very excited to cover the Battle City arc proper.
Yeah, it'll be nice to get into. I think it's safe to say Duelist Kingdom and Battle City are what people think of when they think of Yu-Gi-Oh.
100%, especially with Battle City. I think Battle City, if you want to talk about arcs, is probably the most famous arc in Yu-Gi-Oh. Kind of like you think of different animes. You think of maybe like the Dark World Tournament for like Yu Yu Hakusho, which you don't watch Yu Yu Hakusho, but that's the big arc for them.
Yeah, even I know enough to know that is their big thing.
Exactly. And then something like maybe like Namek for Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
One Piece is just, you know, they have a bunch of those. You know, so I think this is kind of the titular piece of story that I think a lot of people are going to enjoy it.
When you tell someone who was alive at the time about Yu-Gi-Oh, they'll think, oh, yeah, no, Yu-Gi-Oh, it's where they had the dual discs and the Egyptian god cards and blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, that's what people remember. If people would be like, oh, yeah, you remember fucking Johnny Steps. Everyone knows who Johnny Steps is.
He's the fucking bastard that we all hate and love. Or we love to hate.
Yeah.
So it'll be great to kind of talk about that. And, you know, I'm just very excited.
It'll be nice to get back to good Yu-Gi-Oh.
It's where I wanted to say, it is really where it hits the ground running with the story. I think it's got, it knows what it wants to do at this point and just, like, does everything a lot better. So that's nice. So I'm excited to kind of look into that, and we can kind of analyze everything.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Love Battle City. Love to see. We get to see the return of a bunch of faces from Duelist Kingdom. We get to see some brand new freaks. We get to see people die.
Speaking of which, before we kind of finish off here and cap off everything, did you notice the Rex Raptor cameo in the OVA?
Yes.
I was like, hey, there he is. Okay, I forgot to bring that up. I just remember that because we've talked about bringing back characters.
Yeah, it's just a little throwaway character design. So I guess they really were just knocking some things out of the way first before moving on to proper Yu-Gi-Oh! When they knew what they wanted everything to be.
Exactly. But, yeah, season two, it's going to be where everything kind of takes a step up in levels and quality. So we're excited to go on with that.
Yeah. Gonna be great.
So at this point, you know, we're almost done. So let's, do you want to do your social media bit?
Sure. People can find me on the internet at twitch.tv/phoenixfarce and youtube.com under the same name, PHOENIXFARCE. There you can find me playing various internet card games, mostly Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel, sometimes MTG Arena, occasionally Marvel Snap. If that interests you, or if you'd love to hear these dulcet tones, you can find me there. Where can people find you? In reality. Tell people your address, Andy. Dox yourself.
I'm not doxing myself. So you can find me on Instagram at apapasergi, PAPPASERGI. I don't have really much there at the moment, but it is where I will eventually someday post things regarding my music, my art, whatever is going on with me in a social sense. Curry Bros, whatever else. I have a lot of projects actually in the work, and I'm doing a couple things, so hopefully within the next few months I will kind of have that posted, or hopefully by the time this is out we'll have more things posted.
All right,
well, see you all in season two. We're signing off. My name's Andy.
I've been Phoenix.
Giddy up and see you in season two.
It's time to god cards. Ashizu, that was her name.